Father, we thank you so much that we can gather together as brothers and sisters to give you all glory and honor because you alone are worthy. And Lord, I know we all come with different things from different places, with different things on our hearts and on our minds. But Lord, as we come, may we come and meet you. May we come and know what an awesome God you are and what a loving and gracious and forgiving God you are. And Lord, as we come, may we not leave the same way that we came, but may we leave having met you and having experienced a little bit more of your love and your grace for us here in this place. Spirit, I ask that you would give me the words to speak, not my words, but your words, and that you would work here in this place, and that you would give us the ears to hear the truth of your words as you wrote through the prophet Hosea. So we thank you, and we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a question that I'm sure we've all asked at some point or another. It's a question that we probably ask when things don't go well. Why? 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 Why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why does God allow suffering? If God is such a good God, why does he allow so much evil? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why are there things like cancer, pain? Usually, we ask when things go bad, when things don't go well. That's usually when we ask why. Why would such a good God allow such bad things to happen? I think as we read Hosea, there's another why question that should come to mind. Why? Why would God ask Hosea to marry a prostitute? Of all the things that God wants people to do, why would God ask Hosea to marry a prostitute? God's words to Hosea in verse 2 seem the weirdest of pretty much anything that God could ask. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." Hosea is a prophet. He's a man of God. He's God's mouthpiece to the people. A man that God has chosen to represent God and to be God's voice to the people of Israel. So why would God tell Hosea to go marry a promiscuous woman, to go marry a prostitute? Gomer, Hosea's wife, is a prostitute, a harlot. I'm sure there are a lot of other names that people could think of to describe her. I'm sure there are a lot of other names that people used in that time to describe her as well. Side note, on sidebar, for those of you who think that the Bible is boring and it's all about the things that you're not supposed to do, let me just point out that the Bible actually has a lot of things that people say would make a great bestseller that captures audience. It has violence. It has sex. How many books do you read that have a prostitute? I don't know if I'm allowed to say sex and prostitute in church, but it has drama. Like all the things, violence. I know, yes, Emil, please cover your ears. I don't want your ears to get hurt. Yeah. It has more drama than a Korean drama. So why do we think that the Bible is a boring book? Where else are you going to find this stuff? I don't think anyone could come up with a story where they tell the lead character to go marry a prostitute. Yet it's in the Bible. The Bible is a fun, interesting read. So back to the sermon. Gomer is a prostitute. She sells herself for the pleasure of other people. Yet Hosea has been told to go and marry a woman like her. Not just marry her, but also have children with her. If you read the second half of verse 2 in different translations, it's translated differently. Because the original Hebrew is a little bit vague. NIV says, have children with her. English Standard Version and New American Standard Bible, which are a little bit more literal in their translation, have children of whoredom. How would you like to grow up being called children of whoredom? Yet this is what God has told Hosea to do. Go and marry a prostitute and go and have children of whoredom. The ESV's translation makes it sound like the children that Gomer will have aren't all going to be Hosea's actual children, which could very well be the case. Since Gomer is a prostitute, and we know that she continues to prostitute herself after she marries Hosea, there is a very, very real and likely chance that the children that Gomer has are not all Hosea's children. And without DNA tests, without anything like that back then, they wouldn't know. Realistically, there's no way to be sure whose children Gomer was having. If she's still prostituting herself, and Hosea, the book, tells us that she does, it's possible that any one of the men she slept with could have impregnated her. It could be Hosea's children. It may be someone else's children. It could be any man in this town's child. And Hosea will probably never be certain. In fact, scholars believe that based on the wording, there's a high possibility that Hosea's second and third child were in fact not fathered by Hosea. Verse 3 says about the first child, "So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son." There seems to at least be an implication that the first child is Hosea's. But when you read about the other two children, there is no mention of Hosea. Verse 6, "Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter." There's no indication that Hosea is involved in the conception. And in verse 8, "After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son." Again, no indication that Hosea is involved. He could be walking through town with his children, and maybe they kind of look like him. Maybe they kind of don't. Maybe he's thinking, he kind of looks like me, but 2 and 3, they don't really look like me. They don't really look like mom. I don't know. And then maybe they're walking through town one day, and all of a sudden they run across this man. It's like, whoa, my kid looks a little bit too much like that guy. Imagine the snickers and the whispers he would have to endure. The uncertainty of not knowing if he's the father of these two children. Yet God's telling him to do this. God's telling him to marry a prostitute, have children of whoredom, and you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to continue to love them, even though they may not be yours. I remember when Kristen was born, the first thing people would say after seeing her was, "Oh, she looks just like Sam." I'm not sure if that's a compliment to me or an insult to her, but that's what people would say. And other than the hair that she had on her head, because she came out with a full head of hair, everyone was like, "Oh, she looks just like you." Which I guess is a good thing for me. I know she's mine. But Hosea's got no idea. He could be walking through town and see random people that look a lot like, suspiciously like his children. Why would God put Hosea through this? Why would God make Hosea suffer and have such a difficult life? And this is supposed to be a prophet. This is supposed to be God's mouthpiece to the people. And this is what Hosea is supposed to go through. And then look at the names. Look at the names that God tells Hosea to name his children. His daughter was named Lo-Ruhamah. As Sam pointed out, it's hard enough to say the name. But look at what it actually means. Not loved. Yeah, this is my daughter, not loved. And a son named Lo-Ami, which means not my people. Hi, I'm Hosea. This is my son, not my people. It's basically saying, this is not my child. Imagine not only being Hosea, but imagine being those kids growing up like that. My name's not, what's your name? I'm not loved. No, what's your name? I'm not loved. I don't care about the baggage you have. What's your name? I'm not loved. I'm not my people. Imagine the scars these kids are going to grow up with. Yet this is what God tells Hosea to do. Marry a prostitute. Have children of whoredom and give them the names not loved, not my people. Why? Why would God make Hosea do such things? This is a man of God. This is not just someone who believes in God. This is a man of God that God has chosen himself to be a prophet to the nation. And yet he doesn't even know if his children are his. He doesn't even know who his wife has been sleeping with. He doesn't even know that half the town slept with his wife. Remember, he's a prophet. People are probably going, ha ha. Like, didn't you know your wife was going to sleep around on you before you married her? Why'd you still marry her? What kind of prophet are you? Come on, prophet, tell us. Who has she been sleeping with? You're not a very good prophet if you don't know these things. Like, what kind of advice is this to give to a prophet? Imagine somebody here, hypothetically, somebody here says to you, you know what, I want to go into ministry. I can't imagine anyone saying to them, you know, I think it'd be a good idea if you went and married a prophet or married a prostitute. I can't imagine anybody thinking that is a good idea, to tell someone going into ministry to marry a prostitute. Yet that's what God has done. He's told Hosea, go and marry this prostitute. Have children of whoredom. Name them not loved and not my people. Who's not going to think? Who's not going to look at Hosea and laugh and snicker? Who's not going to look at Hosea and think, dude, what kind of prophet are you? What kind of ministry is Hosea supposed to have? Isn't this going to bring into question his character when the guy goes and marries a prostitute? And it's not someone who used to be a prostitute. It's someone who is still a prostitute. What kind of ministry is this guy supposed to have? What kind of influence is this guy supposed to have? He tells the people, nation of Israel, you guys need to be holy before God because our God is holy. What are they going to do? Look at your own family. Get your own house in order first before you talk to us. Yet this is what God has told Hosea to do. Why would God call Hosea, his prophet, to go and marry a prostitute? Part of the answer to Hosea's why comes in the second half of verse 2. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. Like an adulterous wife, like Gomer, the prostitute wife, will be unfaithful to Hosea. God is saying the nation, this land, the people in this land, this people that God had brought out of Egypt and given the promised land to, they are just as unfaithful as the prostitute that Hosea is marrying. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. Just as Hosea's wife is cheating on him and is unfaithful to him, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel and Judah are being unfaithful and cheating on God. Yet for all the people are snickering and laughing and saying, Hosea, you're such an idiot, you're such a loser, why would you do this? That's basically the same response they're having to God. Because as God is saying, just like that adulterous wife, Hosea may be a fool, but then you're calling God to whom the nation of Israel has been unfaithful to, you're calling him a fool too. God had told them over and over and over again about their failure to live up to the covenant agreement that they had made with him through Abraham. But words didn't seem to make a difference. He had told them through prophet and prophet and prophet again that they had screwed up, that they had been unfaithful, they had turned their back on God and walked away. Yet words just don't seem to be enough. So by telling Hosea to marry a prostitute, God was showing them, God was showing the Israelites what they were doing to him. Hosea represents God. The prostitute represents the Israelites. And for all the snickering and laughter at what the prostitute is doing to Hosea, seeing this lived out, how Hosea has married this prostitute knowing full well what he was getting himself into, knowing that his children would not be his children, yet taking her back time and time again. God was showing the nation of Israel, look, this is what God is doing. God knew full well that the nation that he made a covenant promise with would not be faithful. He knew full well going into it that the nation would whore themselves out time and time again. Yet God still entered into that covenant relationship. God knew time and time again that the nation would turn their back on him, cheat on him, go do whatever it wanted with other people, and then come back. Yet, just like Hosea takes Gomer back every time, God takes Israel back every time. Since words were not enough to convict the Israelites of what they were doing wrong, God showing them through Hosea and his marriage to Gomer what they have been doing wrong. He's showing them how unfaithful they have been. Yet in spite of their unfaithfulness, how faithful God has been to them. That in spite of them running off and cheating on him, them running off and making idols and wanting to serve other gods, them running off and doing whatever it is they want, God has never turned his back on them. God has taken Israel back in every time they've come. Just like Hosea has taken Gomer back in every time she's come back, God has taken Israel back in. In fact, as we go through Hosea, Hosea goes and gets Gomer. God has gone and gotten Israel and brought Israel back. Marriage is the covenant relationship that Hosea had entered into, just like the covenant relationship that God had entered into with the Israelites. And he's showing them, just as Gomer's been unfaithful, Israel has been unfaithful. There would have been little disagreement that what Gomer was doing was wrong. No one in their right mind would have said that Gomer was right for continuing to sell her body after getting married, for having children with men who were not her husband. And that's the point that God's making. Because as obvious as it is that what Gomer is doing wrong to the Israelites and to us, it's not always that obvious that what we were doing and what the Israelites are doing to God is wrong. So Israel turns their back on God and runs away. Much like we turn our back on God and we run away. Yet we come back. When we turn away and when we turn our backs and run away, we don't think it's that bad. But when we see Gomer turn her back on Hosea, we realize, wow, that's pretty harsh. And so God's told Hosea to do this so that the nation of Israel and so that us can see how unfaithful we have been. How unfaithful, how much like a prostitute we are with God. That we've entered into this relationship with him, yet we quickly turn our backs on him for other things. For money, fame, success, relationships. We quickly turn our backs and prostitute ourselves out. And turn our backs on the covenant relationship we've made with God. The Israelites didn't think their actions were that bad. Much like we often don't think our actions are that bad. But when God shows them that their actions towards God are like Gomer's actions towards her husband, they can no longer deny how unfaithful they've been. They can no longer deny how whorish they've been acting. Their name-calling of Gomer for her actions were simply convicting themselves of their actions, of their violation of their covenant with God. For all the names that they called Gomer, they were no better in their relationship with God. And now in condemning the actions of Gomer, they had condemned themselves as well. And for all the names that we might call Gomer, it's a reminder to us that we ourselves are no better than Gomer. We may not sell our bodies for sex, but we've sold ourselves in pursuit of other things, in pursuit of riches, in pursuit of fame, in pursuit of education, a better job, comfort, safety. We've entered into a covenant relationship with God, with the one true God, yet we've gone and made idols of other things, of money, academic success, getting into the right universities, getting a good job, being liked by others. We've trusted in ourselves and in others rather than trusting in God who created and redeemed this world. We've brought other things, other beliefs and ideas into our covenant relationship with God. Much like Gomer brought other men into her covenant relationship with Hosea, we've brought in what the society says into our covenant relationship with God. And we've cheapened our relationship. We may not make money from it like Gomer, but we've whored ourselves out in our relationship with God. All the times that we've said we're too busy to follow Christ, we're too tired to spend time with Him. We have other things we need to do. When we put something or someone ahead of Christ, we've turned our back and prostituted ourselves. Yet every time we've done that and we've come back, God has taken us back. And that's what God is showing the Israelites, and He's showing us. For all the times that Gomer prostituted herself, Hosea took her back. For all the times Israel prostituted themselves, God has taken them back. And for all the times we've turned and fallen and gone astray, God has taken us back. God didn't do this just to make the Israelites feel bad about what they've done. He did this to show them, in spite of their unfaithfulness, in spite of their prostituting of themselves, God has been faithful to them through it all. In spite of their lack of love for God, God still loves them and continues to love them and continues to call them back. And that's what the rest of Hosea is about. For all of Gomer's unfaithfulness, God continues to tell Hosea to take her back as his wife. And in doing that, God's telling the Israelites, in spite of your unfaithfulness, God's willing to take them back as his bride. And he's telling us, in spite of all the times that we've failed, he's willing to take us back as his bride. In spite of the pain that we've caused him in turning to other things, in spite of our shameful ways, in spite of our unfaithfulness, God has always been faithful and will always be faithful. That's why God tells Hosea to take a prostitute for a wife, to have children of whoredom named not loved and not my people. Because as Hosea showed grace and love and forgiveness to Gomer, God is showing and his willingness and wanting to show us his grace and his love and his forgiveness. The book of Hosea is a love story. Not so much a love story about Hosea and his wife, but a love story about God and his people. About God and us. If you're waiting for an answer to the why question, sorry, you're out of luck. Hosea kind of got an answer to his why question. Why did God want him to marry a prostitute? So that God could show his love for his people. But while Hosea got an answer to that why question, there's a whole other string of why questions that Hosea doesn't get an answer to. Why Hosea? Of all people, why does Hosea, this prophet Hosea, have to suffer in a way that none of the other prophets of Israel have to suffer? Why make him the subject of such ridicule and shame? What kind of ministry could he possibly have after God does this to him? Why couldn't God have done this in a way that was less painful for Hosea? Couldn't he have found a way that was less shameful, less painful for Hosea? Hosea doesn't get answers to those why questions. He got an answer to one why, but for all the other whys, he doesn't get an answer to. And I think a lot of times we're in a similar boat. We don't always get the answers to our whys. A lot of times we don't know why. Why things happen. Why someone dies so young. Why bad things happen to good people. But we know it's not because God doesn't love us. And it's not because God wants us to suffer for what we've done. It's not because God didn't call Hosea to do this because he wants Hosea to suffer. In fact, one of the things that I think that comes out as a result of this, Hosea understood God's heart probably better than any other prophet. Because Hosea knows firsthand what God has gone through, what his heart has gone through in his love for us. Hosea has experienced that firsthand. So maybe that's part of the why. So that Hosea can have a better understanding. Not just to bring the nation back to God, but so Hosea himself can have a better understanding. Maybe it's to make Hosea learn to rely on God more. We don't know exactly why. But Hosea has a better understanding of God's heart than probably any other prophet because of what Hosea has gone through. And maybe when things happen to us, we don't find out why. But maybe on the other side of it, we come out knowing God a little bit more. Maybe we come out knowing his heart for us a little bit better. Maybe we come out knowing what an amazing and awesome God he is a little bit more than we did before the suffering and the pain. And maybe when we go through suffering and pain, we get a small glimpse of the pain and the suffering Christ went through for us on the cross. Maybe when we're wondering, God, why are you letting this happen? God, where are you in the midst of my pain and suffering? Maybe we get a small glimpse of why Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't always know why. But we know that the God who commanded Hosea to do this loves us so much that he sent his only son to endure even more shame, even more pain and suffering than Hosea did, to endure even more anguish than we have ever suffered. We may not always know why, but we know that our good and faithful God is with us through it all. So as we begin 2018, maybe some of you made resolutions about things that you're going to do, about eating healthier, maybe exercising more, spending more time with family and friends. Kate made me resolve to lose weight. Maybe you've been told you have to resolve something too. But maybe we need to make resolutions about our relationship with Christ. Maybe we need to confess that we've been unfaithful to God. That we've made other things idols. Other things, people. We've put them in the place of God. And maybe we need to repent and turn away from our unfaithfulness and turn back to Christ. Maybe we need to take our relationship with Christ a little bit more seriously and draw closer to God. If you're feeling a little bit like Gomer now, as we enter into communion, why not take the time now to confess, to repent, throw throw ourselves into the loving arms of our gracious God. God who, in spite of all our failures, in spite of us being still enemies, who came and died on the cross for you and me. We have a God who loves us so much. He died on the cross for us. He endured the worst pain and the shame for us. Maybe we need to turn back to Him.